Kaiser's got the ball. He's back to pass. Looking down the near sideline. Jordan Leslie went up and made an incredible catch inside the 5-yard line.
All right, Jordan, everybody just got to see the video of your catch against the Colts. Here's a picture of the catch against the Colts. What do you think when you see this picture?
I mean, it's definitely a great picture and a great play.
It certainly was a great play. Did you notice, I don't know if you watched Monday Night Football this week, but you made one of the highlights of the week. They singled that one out.
There's definitely a lot of people that texted me. I didn't watch Monday Night Football, but yeah, there's a lot of people that texted me and showed me the videos. It's pretty cool, and you know, I'm glad I was able to do it.
All right, now I remember last time I talked to you was after Chicago on the field there at Soldier Field. You just had a great preseason game. I'm sure when you went home that night, were you like, all right, I did what I have to do. I'm going to make this team.
I mean, I've been in a situation a lot, and you never get too confident, but I definitely making it past the first day of cuts. I thought I was going to make the team. Obviously, it didn't happen, and you know, it just pushed me to work harder.
So when you got the call to come in, like, what went through your mind?
Well, I just actually had a workout with the Texans Friday, and I felt like I had a good workout, and obviously they didn't pick me up. So I went into the weekend, you know, kind of down, and then watching the games on Sunday, you know, it frustrates you just seeing receivers out there. You just want to be that guy. And I got the call actually Sunday night, and they said, you know, depending on what happens, we might call you Monday morning. They called me Monday morning. I drove and signed Tuesday. It was a great feeling. I was glad to be back.
Yeah, we saw everything on Instagram. We talked about being on the couch and not knowing if you're ever going to play again. You know, when you have those moments and those thoughts, you know, what were you like, what am I going to do? Like, where were you? What were you going to do?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, sleeping on my brother's couch is not the funnest thing to do. So, you know, I was still working out, but, you know, getting cut, I thought I was going to get a lot of workouts. I thought I was going to get picked up. You know, even my agent did, and, you know, I didn't get any calls at all. And I was kind of just frustrated, I guess, would be the best word to describe it. And, you know, you start thinking, I mean, this is going into my third year. I've been cut by 5 teams. I've had, you know, X number of workouts. This could be the end for my football career.
Was this the hardest one of all the cuts?
Definitely, because, you know, I think this was definitely my most productive preseason. And, you know, I had another one-handed catch, another highlight reel catch. I had 2 touchdowns back-to-back, even a game winner. So it definitely was tough. It definitely was.
It was. Well, oh, by the way, we should introduce ourselves. Nathan Zagura alongside Jordan Leslie. It is the Zagura Zone. We just got caught up in the moment with your catch because we let off. We're trying something different this week, leading off a little bit of video for you. So when they brought you in and told you that, what did Sashi say to you? What did Hugh say to you? What did Al Saunders say to you when they said, look, we love what you did, but it's not working out here?
Well, you know, I talked to Coach Saunders a lot, even during the process of me getting cut in those 2 weeks. And, you know, he's one of my biggest fans. I mean, he loves my work ethic and sees me, you know, how hard I push myself. And so he's always been, you know, in my corner. So that's one guy I respect a lot, and he always pushes me to my best. And, you know, he texts me all the time, you know, I wish you were here. You know, just keep grinding, keep pushing, everything will work out. And Hugh told me the same thing. He said, you know how the NFL is. There's injuries. There's things that happen. So just be ready. And I was ready.
I remember seeing Al Saunders on Monday in the cafeteria. He said they called you back on Monday, and he goes, my guy's coming back. And so,
oh, yeah,
he gave me
a hug and everything.
Yeah, obviously very happy to have you back. Did you think you were maybe done in Cleveland, or did you think if you ended up somewhere, you said you had to work out Texas, that it probably was going to be coming back here to the Browns?
Well, I mean, at first, I thought I was going to get picked up or at least have a workout with somebody right away, having a productive preseason. When it didn't happen, I figured, you know, Cleveland would be the best option that's going, you know, to call me.
Were you guys kind of thinking, like, what do I have to do? Because, I mean, you really did. You had a great preseason. I mean, there were a lot of people that were really upset. And then as soon as the news came back that you were coming back, you know, you posted that. I thought it was awesome what you posted on Instagram. And people were really fired up to have you back here.
Definitely. I mean, during those 2 weeks, there was a lot of fans that reached out to me. And, you know, a lot that said, oh, I don't think you should have been cut. And, you know, I understand it's a numbers game. That's the biggest thing. Being in this league this long, I understand numbers work against you always. And they just kept saying, oh, we wish you were on the team. And when I finally posted it and all the love that I got from that, it really touched me deep because I've worked so hard for this. And have that many people, that many fans that supported me, it makes you feel good.
I mean, is it pretty wild to you that not only did you get cut, Rashard Higgins got cut. He comes back on the practice squad and then gets elevated, has a big game, makes some big plays against Baltimore. You come back, practice squad, then you're elevated right away, and you have a nice big play against Indianapolis Colts. Do you guys talk about that at all?
Of course. When Higgs had his big game, I texted him that Sunday. I was like, I'm proud of you. That's a big thing, because I know he's worked just as hard as I have. And being with somebody for, since last year almost, you build this relationship. So I want to see him succeed just like he wants to see me succeed. So when I saw him go out there being elevated and then just going out there and balling out, I was happy for him. So when I came back, you know, of course I had the same confidence. So I was like, I have to go out there and make a play.
What did you? What was the first thing that went through your mind when you did catch that pass?
Well, it was a hurry up. So I caught the pass and I just gave it to the ref trying to hurry up and go. So I didn't even keep my first catch ball. So that's kind of
the... You got to track that down for it. Brad Mullen's got to get on that.
I wanted to talk to Brad. But yeah, so I was just trying to hurry up. Because I knew, you know, once I saw it go in the air and I put my hand up, I'd do it every day after practice. I'd do it before the games for, you know, about 10 minutes and just work on one-handed. So I know if it hits my right hand, I'm very confident that I'm going to catch it.
You're going to get it.
Yes.
And certainly you did get it there, led to a touchdown for the Cleveland Browns right there. So it obviously has been quite an emotional journey. Have you been able to kind of take a deep breath now, or is it to you every day still like, you still feel like you're kind of in that, I got to prove it, I'm grinding it out every day?
Well, every day I feel like I have to prove it. I was cut.
Yeah.
So I obviously have things that I need to work on. And obviously it was an amazing week. I went from, you know, sleep on my brother's couch to practice squad to activate.
Where were
to,
you? Where
in Chicago.
In Chicago.
It was the easiest drive. I didn't want to go home to Houston, so I just drove to Chicago. And so, yeah, I went through getting activated and then making a play and, you know, having just, you know, top 10 on SportsCenter, being on Monday Night Football. It's a crazy week.
So for you, you know, you've been with a lot of different NFL teams, but as you wrote in the Instagram post, 11 is active, baby.
Yeah.
What was it like kind of coming out through the tunnel? Just kind of take me through that whole Sunday when you knew you were going to play in your first NFL game.
Of course I was. Of course you're a little anxious. Everything comes down to...
It seemed like a long morning.
Yeah,
exactly. It seemed like it took a long time to get to one.
Everything comes down to your first play, your first time running down a kickoff, your first catch. Everything you're anxious for. But once it happens, it's just like you've been playing since you were a kid. It just comes natural.
Yeah, and it was great to see you out there, obviously. And I think... You know, you talk about fans reaching out to you. I think with social media, it's like much easier for people to connect in situations like this, you know, and in years past you wouldn't have been able to, and now you're able to come out here and have people tweet you and interact with you on Instagram and everything like that.
And definitely, I love, you know, reaching out to fans and talking to kids and just helping inspire people. That's the biggest thing I've ever wanted to do, is just inspire somebody to never give up, to keep pushing forward.
Where did you get this work ethic from? What inspires you? What drives you?
I think I was just born competitive. I mean, it comes down to... In classes, sometimes I would take notes and I would look around to make sure like I was beating everybody and like writing down whatever was on the PowerPoint. I just wanted to beat everybody and everything. And I think it just came from that. And then getting to college and, you know, there's always people that doubt you. And that just pushed me to keep going. When every time I got cut or every time I was told I wouldn't make it to the NFL, I wasn't this, I wasn't that. It just made me want to keep going and just lit a fire in me.
So, like, I'm really competitive, too. And I was certainly born that way. And I can see, like, in my kids, I have a daughter that's very competitive, and my son is not competitive at all. And I know it's just kind of some of it you can – it's nature and nurture. So let me ask you this, because this is something that I always like to ask people who I think are very competitive. Do you like winning more than you hate losing, or do you hate losing more than you like winning?
I think I – that's a tough question, but I think I hate losing more than I like winning. Like – I hate winning more than it. I mean, I hate losing more than anything. And winning is nice, but I'm not one of those people that like to showboat and stuff like that. I won. I expected to win, and I keep going on with it.
I'm saying, like, losing, I hate it.
I can't stand it.
Yeah, as you said, you expect to win. That's what you're
exactly.
supposed to do. That's what you're putting the work in to do.
Exactly.
In those 2 weeks before coming back, what was a normal day like? Because I imagine you want to make sure if that phone rings, I'm 100% ready to go. So is it kind of same like the workouts that you would have done if you were in training camp or in offseason? Like, what did you do during that time?
I mean, the hardest thing, because I wasn't from Chicago. Usually when I work out, I have my trainers in Houston, things like that. So hardest thing was trying to find somewhere where I could run routes, somewhere I could find someone that could throw to me. And obviously my brother, being from Chicago, he knew a few people. So there was a couple days I went and played basketball just to get the conditioning down, you know, use my competitive nature to get to the rim.
Sure.
Because I was... definitely the best basketball player in my family.
We're going to get there. Don't worry. We're getting there.
And he was able to find a quarterback that was in Chicago. He was a little older. He played Division II and does some 7-on-7. He was able to throw to me. And that was the biggest thing, finding a field and getting someone to throw to me.
Yeah, and then you got your opportunity. You seize it, and hopefully we'll be talking here in the Zagura Zone and many other places with you as a member of the Cleveland Browns for a long, long time. So certainly glad to have you here. So we're going to transition now into some of these photos. You got a little nervous when he walked in. He was a little nervous. Like, I don't get to see him for it. No, you don't get to see him. So we're going to get right into it. Just whatever you see, then you just kind of, you give us your reaction to it. You give us your reaction to it. Houston skyline, in case it's not clear
from
the picture.
My home.
Okay. That's your home?
Yep.
You get back to Houston a lot?
Yeah, definitely. Every time, you know, we have off season, that's where I go back to.
Is October 15th a big day for you?
Of course. I can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah. It's when the Browns play the Texans in Houston, by the way, for those keepers.
Definitely for having that workout with them, I can't wait to have a big game.
Yeah, right in their faces.
UTEP. The first people to, you know, have faith in me. First people to give me a scholarship and, you know, I had some big games.
So you played at UTEP for a few years. That's how you got your degree from UTEP. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to get the journey going on. But what was it like staying in Texas, and then what made you decide you wanted to move on?
Well, you know, coming to UTEP, I love their stadium. I love the fans. And we had some big games there. And then, obviously, we had a new coaching staff come in. After my sophomore year, I had a big year, and a new coaching staff came in. And it was a little more run-oriented.
Uh-huh.
And I stayed with them for 1 year, and I kind of just wanted to branch out. And my receiver coach went to BYU, and I ended up transferring with him.
Which I guess you can guess where this is going. By the way, who in your mind is the most famous UTEP alum?
Most famous UTEP alum.
Maybe athlete. Most famous UTEP
alum. I would just say Johnny Lee Higgins on the football field, just because he was a receiver.
Okay.
He came around a lot. I was able to see and learn from him. So
from growing up for me, I grew up in the Bay Area as a basketball guy. So I'd say Tim Hardaway.
Yeah,
of course. Of course, killer
crossover. If you go basketball, that's definitely the guy you have
killer
to go with.
Killer crossover. All right. You talked about you went from UTEP. Here we went to BYU.
BYU.
Brigham Young. What was that like?
Some of the best fans in the world, honestly. You know, I can go to any airport and people have BYU stuff on. Oh, you're Jordan Leslie. And I'm like, I was only there for 6 months and people know me. They reach out to me all the time. Some of the best fans ever.
Was it a culture shock? I imagine it's got to be like a completely different experience than maybe anywhere outside of BYU.
Definitely. Because there's a lot of people that have been on missions. There's some people on our team that are older, 25. But I met some great people like Taysom Hill. Just a lot of people that Kai Nakua, the people that
right.
He's from there. So people that I just grew a relationship with, and you know those will last for a lifetime.
What did you think of Kai Nakua's white pants on the last road trip?
I actually liked them. You didn't like them?
And Joe Thomas was like, he tweeted out a picture of him and said he wasn't sure about the white pants after Labor Day.
Oh, I liked them. I thought they were kind of stylish.
They were pretty stylish. Yeah. They were.
He got some style.
He did have some style. All right, here we go. Talk about being the best basketball player in your family.
Oh. The second best basketball player in the family is right there.
All right, so now a lot of people know this. Jimmy Butler is your brother.
Yes, sir.
So you playing? Was that who you were playing hoops with when you were back in Chicago?
No, actually, he was obviously in L.A. working out.
Getting ready.
And traveling from Minnesota. And so my other brother is who I stayed with. But, you know, not a lot of people know that, but I have all the records in our school. So if anybody wants to know, this guy's number two, I'm number one.
So then that begs the question, what made you choose football over basketball?
I mean, he's like 6'7". I'm, you know, 6'2", 6'3". So I had to
But you
just,
could take him.
I could definitely take him, but I just felt like football was in my heart and football was what I was better at.
So is there anybody on this team right now that can hang with you on a basketball court, on the Cleveland Browns?
No one on this team can beat me in basketball. No one. I don't want to hear anybody say anything. They can't.
Okay, we might have to set something like this
we
up.
We might have to set something up.
A little Olympics.
We could have a dunk contest, too.
Joe Schobert's a very good dunker. His nickname,
Joe the
Show. True story. Might have to get a little dunk contest. All right. This is something it's from the media guy. It's something you say you like to do, a skill that you possess.
Juggle. You got something I can juggle real quick.
Just the pitcher, but you can do it.
I can.
How many can you get up to, four or just to three?
I mean, I'm pretty skilled with three. Four is a little tough, but I can juggle anything, footballs, anything.
Really? It was just something you picked up?
It was. So I just picked up weird hobbies sometimes. Like, I did origami at one point. Like, I just picked up weird things. And I was in rehab when I had my ankle surgery.
Okay.
And so it was a lot of things of balance. And they would toss me things. I was like, this is too easy. So I started learning how to juggle. And so I would, like, balance and juggle at the same time. So I got pretty good at it.
It's a man of many skills.
I try to be.
A man of many skills. All right. This is another one of your skills. Or at least, I don't know if it's a skill. It's something you like to do. This is the toughest game in the world, folks, in my opinion.
That is definitely the toughest game in the world.
And so you like the golf?
I wouldn't say I'm skilled, but I'm an average player. Maybe a little above average.
Okay.
I've broken a few clubs in my heyday. That's my competitive nature. I just
from anger.
Yeah.
But I'll give you one tip. I played college golf. You gotta just let it go.
I know. That's what I'm.
Every
learning.
Shot, no matter where it goes, you gotta let it go. Because people get mad and then they try to figure out what they did wrong. You can't do. You know what you're gonna do. Just gotta let go. Be zen. Be like, whatever. Why the ball? What is that?
See, that's my problem. I'll have days where I'm like, dang, I shot really good, and then once I hit a bad one.
Oh, that's for everybody.
Woo!
That's for
everybody.
It goes
downhill.
That even happens to the pros. All right, we're going to get through these last ones real quick. I think this one always cracks me up.
The Rock?
That is The Rock. This is a real picture.
You trying to say I look like The Rock?
No, I'm just saying I just want to get your reactions. I think it's a pretty hilarious picture. The Rock is pretty much the baddest dude on the planet.
Yeah, it definitely is.
And this is an interesting. Would you ever be a pro wrestler? If you're a pro wrestler, what would your pro wrestling name be?
Pro wrestler. I don't know.
Have you ever been to a wrestling event?
I actually haven't.
No?
I used to watch wrestling when I was little, but okay. I don't know. Maybe the one-hand bandit or something.
The
what?
The band.
Something like that.
All right, we're getting to a couple of my favorite foods. Let's see what you think of back.
Ooh, tacos.
Tacos, yeah.
I do love
my
tacos.
Are they high on your list, tacos?
I do love tacos.
Okay.
I definitely eat a lot of food. For somebody not being as big as the lime and stuff like that, I probably could out-eat a lot of people.
Trust me, I feel you right now. My doctor said I had the metabolism of a hummingbird as a child.
That's how mine is.
All right, we're going to Houston. I imagine there are good tacos in Houston. Where should I go for tacos in Houston? Do you have any recommendations?
Honestly, the best thing is like the food trucks.
The food trucks?
The food trucks. There's some food trucks that I've had, and I never got the name of them, but some of the best tacos I've ever had.
Okay, food trucks. All right, the last one's real quick. Is this the king of all the meats, prime ribs? Is this the king of all the meats?
I mean, I love prime rib, but
yes.
I would love to have a ribeye.
A rib, so you'd rather the steak preparation better. Same cut.
Yeah,
that's fine. We're all in the same. Okay.
Hugh, that's my guy.
That's your guy, Hugh Jackson?
Great, great head coach.
All right, then we're having fun, and this is the last one. This is one of my favorite things, Barstool Sports.
Saturdays for the boys.
Are for the boys. Are you aware of this?
I'm definitely aware of that.
Do you believe in it?
Of course.
All right, it's a good thing.
Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday? Well, Sundays are for the Browns.
Definitely for the
Saturdays
Browns.
Saturdays are for the boys. Jordan, thank you for coming to the Zagura Zone. Welcome back to the Browns. Looking forward to seeing you make more plays on Sundays and having hopefully the start of a great career.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you very much. That's Jordan Leslie in the Zagura Zone. We'll be back again next week, folks. Thanks for watching.